So now we're going to continue with our reading of John epistle, the epistle of first epistle of John, chapter 5. And I'm pretty excited. I was pretty excited as I remembered where I left off and what this part is. Like I said, there are some very important things that are there in this book that Yohanan emphasizes and focuses on and brings to a full understanding for us. And we and I and I and I I'm looking forward to going through that. So last Sabbath we read first epistle of John, that's first the first letter of Yohanan chapter 5. We read from verses 5 to 12. And verses 12 says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. And we saw how it says, in him was the life. He is the light. In him is the life of men. In the gospel, in the Habesorah of Yochanan chapter 1, right? That is so important. That's where the life is, in that hidden one that Enoch saw. The one whose day Abraham saw and rejoiced. That's the one in whom there is the life. Literally, literally, his life is kept by us. And Enoch, and I and our brother Richard can speak, hopefully we'll speak more of this in the future, or if he could even allude to it a little bit. It's where I think it's in the record of Clement's teachings of Kepha, Peter, where Peter emphasizes that Mashiach is with all men, especially the righteous, but he doesn't make himself known until they are ready, so to say. And some people never know. How is he with us? He's with us. This is why there's such a hard command about the blood. Is above all things, do not eat blood. Right? And our sister, Mr. Willard's wife, Miss Elaine, I think 2 Sabbaths ago, read to us something about blood and cautioning us. And that was really important for her to share that, because the life is in the blood. Yeshua dwells in us. I believe this through our blood. The blood is not Yeshua, but Yeshua lives in us in our blood. I want you to really, I'm not going to go, I just want you to really meditate on that. This is why there's such a thing in the scriptures about what you do with the blood. Because the life is in the blood. And Yeshua is the real life and light of men. And he dwells with every man, not as the Holy Spirit, because he must give us the Holy Spirit, but he's with every man. That's why we're alive. And that's why you have to treat, not that if you do anything with the blood, it harms him in any way. No. But it just dishonors him because he lives there. It's a, he sanctifies the blood to live in us. So we have love. It's sanctified. And that's why he said, you don't treat the blood in any old way. You must make sure it's poured into the ground and bury it. Because because Yeshua lived. That's how your life. And that's why when you die, he that spirit of him returns to the heavens. Never dies. Amen. So this is why verse 12. Am I reading? Yeah, let me take off my glasses. My glasses are for driving, not so much for reading. Let me take them off. Okay, it says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. Now, this is going to the greater extent of recognizing and knowing that you have the Son. Just think about it. When you understand, whoo-hoo, I'm running, I'm jogging, or I'm in my bed ill, but I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Why am I alive? Praise Elohim, Yeshua. He is my life. That's why I'm alive. When we could begin to understand that reality, the role that Yeshua plays in our lives, the birth, Kepha says he's with every man. He's not like next to you, like some of these. No, he's in you. the life that's in you. That's how come he says, I will send, I will not leave you orphan, I will come to you. What was he speaking of? The Comforter. Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of the Father and of the Son. It's one Spirit. Two forms. There's the Father. It's hard for me to say a spirit, a heavenly being. The heavenly being. Right? The heavenly being from whom the heavens were created. And there's Yeshua, his first word, born from him, but of the same Spirit, not a different Spirit. But the Son has his own form. And so he can experience things too. And as he experiences, his experiences are shared with the Father. And as the Father are shared with the Son. And ultimately, there's Elohim, as we've spoken about, in his infinite form, which the heavens cannot contain. And I was meditating on that this morning too. Meditating in him, his infinite Elohim, that the heavens cannot contain. But before creating, he manifests as the Father. And as I've said before, according to the scriptures, he's a enormously, the Father is gigantic. He's not our size. And neither is his Son, and neither are the holy angels. They're huge. As Enoch records something about, we are small, how small we are in our smallness. And that's how he expressed it compared to the heavenly things. So anyway, let's move on from verse 12, but meditate on these things. Remember, when you wake up in the morning, that even before you knew Yeshua, you were alive because of him. It is by his life we all live. The atheists, the sinners, the mockers, the scoffers, each one of them live by Yeshua. Oh, how gracious and kind he is. Just think about that. He is their source of life, living with them. They don't even know. They mock him. They dishonor him. That's how come when people say anything about Yeshua, it distresses me greatly. So we need to rejoice. Guess what? Brothers and sisters, you're alive. Guess what? Yeshua is literally in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's move on. And of course, he offers us the Holy Spirit, which is, see, if we abide in him, when we die, his Spirit leaves, and that's it for us until the resurrection. But to those he gives his set apart Spirit, the Spirit of God is given as a gift that will never be taken away. Never. That's a teaching in itself. And believe me, he's very careful about whom he gives his Spirit. He'll never give his Spirit, his set apart Spirit, to someone he knows who's going to fail. Remember what he says about Abraham? I've chosen him because I know he will do everything that I tell him. He wouldn't have chosen him otherwise. So all the ones that, remember what Yeshua said? Have I not chosen you? And one of you is a devil? Only one was. But none of the others were. He knew who he was choosing. So trust me, the ones he chooses to entrust the Holy Spirit to, they will never fail. That's why he chooses them. Now that his Spirit can be with everybody, Yeshua is literally in everybody, literally. Again, that's why we're alive. And his Spirit could guide people. But that's not the set apart Spirit. Because the set apart Spirit is like the bread of Elohim, is like the bread which Yeshua took and fed the thousands. The thousands. The bread, instead of getting smaller, there were like 7 loaves. Just 7 loaves. How many baskets were picked? Right? Picked up. That's how his Spirit is. His Spirit cannot diminish. So when he gives you the set apart Spirit, let me give you one more example. Moses. Remember when Moses was a little weary and Elohim said to him, pick the 70 of your best, most devoted, right? And he said, I will take of the spirit in you and I will put it on them. Was the spirit in Moses diminished? No. That spirit multiplied in all the 70. And they all spoke and prophesied. Even the one family who didn't come in the tent prophesied. Hallelujah. So when Yeshua gives you us his set apart spirit, when Elohim gives us, that's a gift forever. Because he knows you're the ones who will be faithful to him. He never gave his set apart spirit to Judas. Never. Because he gave his set apart spirit on the day he resurrected. Look at it in the record of John. And he breathed on them and they received the spirit. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the power of that spirit in them manifest. But when was the spirit given to them? On the day of first fruits. That's a study in of itself. But so whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. Now that's talking about the everlasting life. Again, that's given to us by his set apart spirit as a gift that will never depart from us. And we even see an example of that in the prophets. I think, is it in the prophets? I'm trying to remember. Where there was this old prophet, this person who was buried. I don't remember, it was Elisha's bones, right? And they put this dead person there, and the dead person's body touched the bones. What happened? The person came back to life. Why? Because the spirit never departs from that person. No, if that person would be blown up to bits, forbid, by an atomic bomb, the spirit would never abandon that person, because no one can destroy anything that Elohim has created. You could take it apart, you could dissect it, but it's still there. There's only one who could destroy. There's only one who can destroy, and that's Elohim, as Yeshua. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him after he has put you to death, can destroy you in the lake of fire. Because that fire is not regular fire. It's a divine fire that will oh, my brothers and Elohim, I was thinking about this maybe a couple of weeks ago or last week. Elohim loses nothing. Nothing is lost. He gives us, when he burns up everything, where does it go? It returns to him. Everything he created by his energy, he purifies it, destroys all the sin, and it just returns to him. The earth that will be destroyed, everything. It doesn't just go to waste. You think it goes to, it does. No, no, no. He showed it. He made me think. No, when that divine fire just returns everything back to him. Where did it all come from? He says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. What are those? What did he use to create? They said he made it out of nothing. Not really. He made it out of him. There's no such thing as nothing, because Elohim always existed. You understand what I'm saying? So he took somehow, beyond our understanding, he brought forth his son, and through his son, he made all of those things. Those things did not come from another reality. They came from him. There were only two that existed at that time. Him and his son. And so when all is said is done, and that fire is going to consume everything evil to non-existence, and everything that was made will be restored to him. He loses nothing. Praise be his name. Let me move on to verse 13. So let me see how far I could get. I've been speaking for 14 minutes. I could really go on, right? I kind of apologize, but I hope the words have blessed you nonetheless, or at least encouraged you to search the scriptures about these things. Let's read verse 13 up to verse 17. And if we can, we'll try to finish up to verse 21. I'm really looking forward to finish, because I want our brother Richard to be able to share some things as soon as possible. Like, he'll be our next speaker for a while. And of course, any of you are welcome to speak, but he was ready to go, and he told me he has things to share, and I thank Elohim for that. So once I'm finished with the first epistle of John, chapter 5, our brother Richard, as the Eternal permits and puts his heart, he will be sharing with us for a little while some wonderful things. So let's go from verse 13 to 17. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of Elohim, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. And if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask. Wow. He shall ask, and Elohim will give him life. That's exactly what our brother Yaakov, James, said in his epistle. Chapter 5 of Yaakov, of James chapter 5. He shall ask, and Elohim will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. In verse 17, all wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. I stop here. Okay, let's start with verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name, in the authority of the Son of Elohim, in the Ben of Elohim, that you may know that you have eternal life. Going back to verse 12, that's what he was talking about. Like, as I said, we all human beings, sinner, atheist, hater of Elohim, they're alive by Yeshua. That's where their life is. Again, look at Yochanan chapter 1, right? That's where their life is. But there is a life that when you honor that one from whom your life comes from, that Yeshua, when you have him and you honor his name, meaning his authority, it's not just the written, you know, letters that comprise the name or the sound Yeshua or Yahushua, however a person might pronounce it. It's recognizing his authority. Because when it says that name, that's what it means. Like in the Hebrew, when you say Shema, you know, some people would say who he is. He's a nobody. I'm not speaking of Nesu Yeshua, but they'll use that. That's because the name is what determines, is how you're kind of measured in a way. So the authority in Yeshua, because when he was on earth and teaching, they all were amazed. No one ever spoke like that. Was it just what he was saying? Yes, what he was saying was powerful and unique, but it's because when he spoke, it came into being. Because later on, he speaks and the demons listen, right? They fear him. He speaks and the blind see, and so on and so on. He spoke with authority. Okay, it's not like me, the way I'm speaking, you know, just sound repeating the good things of the scripture. What he did, he did more than just say the good things of the scripture. He caused things to be. So those of us who believe, I write these things to you who believe in the name, the authority of the Son of Elohim, the Son of the power over all things, that you may know that you have eternal life. Because those of us that believe in him are those whom the Father has called, are those whom the Father has drawn to Yeshua and made Yeshua known to them, because they were ready for him. Because as Enoch teaches, Elohim does not allow anyone to draw near his son who would not honor him. It's only those who would honor him he allows to come to know his son. And nobody without Yeshua knows Elohim as Father. And that's how come the demons believe, but he is not the father of demons. Many sinners believe that there is an Elohim. He's not the father of the sinners. He's the father of those whom he calls, who repents. And then because of their repentance, he introduces them to his son, causes them to know his son. Like my brother Felix has read to me many accounts of people through their sufferings who have come to know Yeshua, but they knew Elohim first. And that makes a lot of sense. But they don't know Elohim as Father. But Elohim introduces his son to them. And guess what the son does? The son does introduces that great Elohim they feared to them as, hey, he is your father and my father. He is your Elohim and my Elohim. Only Yeshua can do that. Hallelujah. And so let's move on to verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Oh, dear brethren, this is the major thing. Here, a major thing. Listen to how it says, and this is the confidence we have towards him. Do you understand? Why do you trust in him? Why do you have confidence? Why do you have confidence? This is the confidence that we have towards him. What is it? What is that confidence that we have towards him? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Wow. Think about all the things Yeshua has said through his apostles. That when you believe, when you pray, well, first of all, he sets the conditions. Repent of your sins. Seek you first the kingdom of heaven, right? And Elohim then already knows your needs and he will meet all your needs. And he does. Even when we sin, even when he doesn't answer our prayers, he still provides for all of our needs. When he stops answering our prayers because of some unrepented sin, or he's trying to get our attention about something, he still takes care of us. Just meditate on that when you go home. Think about the times you've prayed for some things, but yet all the needs, like we were reading about in Psalms 147, how he doesn't take everything away from us. He could have. He may be chastising us, making our life a little difficult to get our attention, but he doesn't take everything. But he wants us to seek first the kingdom. He wants to repent of all our sins. And when we repent of our sins, whatever we ask in his name, he says we receive. And part of that repentance means also believing. It's not just thou shalt not. It's also he expects you to believe that he is Elohim and he is a rewarder of all those who seek him. I think that's the hardest thing, at least for me. We're all different. Maybe for some, having faith comes easy. For me, it's very hard. It's very hard. It is very hard for me to believe the things I can't see. I believe, don't get me wrong, I believe so much in Elohim now, but he had to answer my prayer. He answered my prayer for that. But to believe he's actually going to do something, I find it hard for me to put my hands on that, but he's been gracious to me and he has answered my prayers even when I don't believe. Sometimes he's merciful because he sees how my heart cries out to him. As the scripture says, he's close to those who have a broken heart. He's near to them. Of a broken heart. Look at what's that evil king's name? Ahab? Ahab. He was a wicked king. But when his heart was broken and his faith, didn't Elohim have mercy on him? He didn't even pray to Elohim. He didn't even ask. Elohim just had mercy on him. Wow. What a wonderful Elohim we have. He even answers the prayers of demons, right? Get out of him. Please send us into the swine. Whoa, wasn't that a request from a demon? Wasn't Yeshua merciful and said, okay, go? Yes. So how much more will he answer our prayers? That's why we, especially people like me who are like Thomas, doubting Didymus, doubting Thomas, we need to like really repent of lack of trust and gain that trust. So we can, he says, when you pray, know that you have the things you pray for and you will receive them. That's what he says. That's what he says, right? So that's such a blessing. And this is what he's saying. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is his will? His covenant. He doesn't leave his will a mystery to us. He already tells us what his will is. He already tells us that his father's will is that you should be blessed. It's true. This is not blame it, grab it, that type of preaching. You have to repent. We have to be pure and clean to receive that from him. There are those preaching out there that you don't need to keep the commandments. You just need to claim it and all of that stuff. That's a lie. You need to repent and walk circumspectly before Elohim to have that type of relationship. And if you don't, it doesn't mean he abandons you. No, he's not.
Please enter your password. Then press pound.
Sorry. Did you... It was disconnected?
Sorry, all that time? 162838 is not a valid password. If you have forgotten your password or need to reset it, hang up and...
Okay, so we were... I was talking about having that confidence. See, we need to have that confidence that whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And remember, the will is his covenant. All you need to know the will of it, look at what the covenant says. By his stripes, we are healed. He has carried our diseases. We receive forgiveness for our sins. And the we don't need to interpret those things of it. It's both spiritual and physical. Matthew tells us when he was healing that this was according to the prophecy that by his stripes we are healed. So it's physical healing and spiritual healing, which is the forgiveness of our sins. It's both. So when we are sick and all of these things, it's not easy. And I'm speaking in a way. That's why I'm very sympathetic. I tell people I'm one of those who find it hard to believe. Like my prayer will be answered. I find it hard to believe. But he has answered my prayers a lot. But and that's why I could confess that to you, that he does answer prayer and he's merciful. So we need to develop that confidence. We need to be like Abraham. Remember what Abraham did? It was offer up your son. He went up there and he was going to and he put Isaac on that pile of wood, set the and was about to plunge that knife down. That's horrible to think. But Elohim sent the angel, stopped him. But what does the book of Hebrews tell us about Abraham? He knew that whatever happened, he was going to come back down with his son. Because Elohim is not a liar. He knew Elohim's will. He knew Elohim made that covenant that through his son, Isaac, he would have a multitude of nations. So he knew whatever would have happened, stab him, whatever, burn him up in that smoke, burn him up into the fire. When all is said and done, somehow, he and his son would walk back down to that mountain. Do you understand that level of confidence? That's why we speak of the faith of Abraham. And that's why I try to tell people, listen to me carefully. Some people are struggling with Judaism, trying to match up the faith once delivered to the fathers, to the saints, with Judaism. It's not the same thing. Judaism was something from the rabbis. Judaism is not the scriptures. You understand? It's not. These are the interpretation. Judaism is a religion made up by the rabbis. You know? The faith of Abraham is what's recorded for us in the scriptures. And it has to do with trusting Elohim in that way. It has to do with trusting Elohim for divine interventions, which, as you know, the rabbis don't believe really in that anymore. It's just a matter of study, know the Torah, and move on. No, let's not get caught up in that. These are the things that Paul and the apostles and Yeshua and all have warned about. We have to believe in the Malkut HaShamayim. We need to believe in the government, in the kingdom of Elohim, where his spirit does intervene. We must never become like those who say, oh, Elohim doesn't speak to people anymore. There are no more prophets. That's not true. Yeshua says, I will send you prophets and scribes, he said. And Yochanan was the last of the first covenant prophets. He says, the law and the prophets were until Yochanan was until John. That Yeshua tells us, men would say us, it's of that prophet that was killed at the altar. No, he was just making reference there that your sins from that point and be all those sins will be accounted for that generation. He was not identifying the last first covenant or Old Testament prophet. The last Old Testament prophet was Yochanan, was John. That's another study. So let's move on. So we got to have that confidence towards him. I have to end at verse 15 because it's already 30 minutes. You and I, brothers and sisters, that's what we're being called to. We really have to understand that. If we don't have that type of confidence, which I don't have, but I know I have to pray for that. And I've been praying for it, and little I could see my faith is growing. I implore you to pray for that faith. That's what Elohim expects of us. Remember when Yeshua came to his own town, was about to do some healing. Why didn't he do it? It's not that he couldn't do it. His ability to heal is not depending on our faith. His willingness to heal often depends on our faith, depending on our level of understanding. When he sees we know better and we don't do, then he's not going to answer us. But we have to understand that he abundantly wants to forgive us. Just as he wants to forgive us, he wants to deliver us even from our physical troubles. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did he not say that? What things? The things he mentioned before. He says, these are the things the Gentiles seek after. What I should wear, blah, blah, and so on and so on. He says, your Father in heaven knows you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first, I mean, make that your priority in all things, that you're seeking for the will of Elohim to be done. You make yourself a conduit of his kingdom by prayer. That's why he asks us to pray. You see, because when we don't pray, when we don't ask, then he has no reason to do anything. No one cares for his intervention. No one is asking for his intervention. But when we get on our knees, especially where we meet with another brother and sister physically, we need to be together. That's why I encouraged you, or maybe last or this time, find a brother and sister besides your own family. If at all possible, pray that you could find a brother and sister that while we can't meet, that you can invite to Sabbath services with you so that you can spend time praying for the will of Elohim to be done. Because he wants us to do that. Because when we do that, we become his emissaries, his servants on this earth. We're saying in this world that is governed by Hasatan, that Elohim, I want your will to choose. Look at me, Elohim. Look at my hand. Look at my heart. I want your will to be done. And he says, if two of us ask for that, he's going to do it. Remember Lot? We remember with Abraham. Abraham asked for a certain number, as our brother was saying. What if you find X and Y? He says, if I find this amount of people, I will not destroy the city. You understand? So that's why he says, we're two or three are gathered. It's important. Don't think it's just something. So it's important. He's running a heavenly government, and he has to have agents on earth for him to be willing to act. You understand? Let me give an example. If a nation is suffering and they never cry out to the United States, likely the United States would not intervene, right? But if they send ambassadors and cry out to the United States, please help us, help us, help us. We want you to help us. Yeah. Even if that wicked ruler would not want to help, but because of their inopportunity, they will help, right? That's what Yeshua is teaching us. So we have that confidence. Now, is this something you just repeat? No. We have to make it real. And the way it's going to be is to cry out to Elohim in the little things, as I always tell my family. Don't wait till the big things happen and try to cry. When you have a headache, it's something that I do all the time. I'm saying to you, I encourage you, because he's not a respecter of person. I'll give you an example. When I have a headache, brothers and sisters, I never take medicine. I won't even drink tea. I pray for my headaches to go away. They go away. Now, often before I could even finish talking, finish making the prayer, the headache just goes away. There are times it doesn't, and it's always the times when he's trying to get my attention, when there's stress in my life that I'm bringing on my own self. By the way, I respond to the wrong, right? He says, don't return railing for railing and accusation for accusation. And sometimes I find myself pressed against a wall so much so long that I find myself lashing out with my words, saying, don't do this. But Elohim says, his servants must not strive. And I have to remind myself of that all the time. Don't strive. He's going to take care of it. Don't try to do it through your carnal means, through your words, your action. Let Elohim take care of it. So I try to learn. But once I get back on track, I have a stomachache. I pray it goes away. I have a headache. I pray it goes away. Sometimes I even pray for the sick. My daughter can tell you. My brother can tell you. And it goes away. Even when the doctor says it would never go away. And I have so little faith. So those of you out there who have more faith, think about what Elohim could do for you if you walk circumspectly, so you could have that confidence in Yeshua, because our Yeshua is real. This is why we have confidence. It's not what people say, because no one can know Yeshua by what anyone says. Only the Father can draw people to him. We can teach people about him, and the word can cause people to, wow, I wish I could believe in such a thing. And once Elohim sees that, you have a good heart. You have a fertile heart, a righteous heart seeking after righteousness. I will get you to repent, and I will introduce you to my beloved son. But we have to have that confidence. We can. That anything we ask according to his will, he hears us. Let me finish with verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, what does it say, brothers and sisters? We know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Whoa! Do you hear what the new covenant says? Do you hear why we must seek earnestly for faith and works? Whatever you have, think about when you think about your loved ones, they're struggling, your child being sick. Whoa, you walk circumspectly. We walk circumspectly before Elohim. He will hear us. Because guess what? He abundantly pardons. He abundantly longs to heal. He doesn't do it grudgingly. He's like a fountain of goodness, and that's just waiting to burst over and pour over us if we only just do it the way he says. Do justice, do righteousness, love the rock from whom you are hewn. That's just an expression saying, find out who you are, where you come from, why you exist, and love that source. That's logical. That's just on a plain logical level. Find out why you exist. Why does all of this exist? And love him who brought it all to pass. That's how Abraham got to meet Elohim by the way, right? So I end here. So dear brothers, this is the great faith that we have. Whatever we ask, that's the confidence that we have. And that's why we could tear down walls. That's why when governments, nations, whatever has happened, if we do it the way Yeshua did. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name. He's not saying over the phone. He means physically. I'm telling you. That's a study for itself. It's fine that we're over the phone. Don't get me wrong. Elohim is merciful. He understands. But if we could meet physically with someone, make the effort. Because that's, he says, where two or three are gathered, I am there. So if we could be with another brother or sister and we're not there, don't you think he knows? Do you think he's going to honor us? If we know a brother or sister that we can go to on the Sabbath day or on the holy days to pray and we choose not to, doesn't work. Remember, you are the holy temple. And we have to carry that holy temple just like the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the tabernacle wasn't stuck on the ground. The tabernacle that he established, told Moses, could go anywhere. He said to David, in all my life, and not all my life, forgive me, in all my dwellings with Israel. I've never asked for such a thing. He just did it for David's sake. For David's sake. I'm just telling you, he did it for David's sake. It's not something he really wanted, because it's better to be mobile. And some of you, I think, through the hardships, you've come to understand that. It's better to be free, to be mobile. Some of us can't be, for one reason. But those of us who are able to be mobile, and we're more free. All right, dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening. It is my prayer and hope that this has made you to think about the goodness of Elohim and all the goodness that he has in store for us, and why we need to huddle together and pray, live righteously, because, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Hallelujah. Praise be to Elohim, Most High, in the name of his Son, Yeshua, and his Spirit. Amen.